The sermon text is printed on the back of the insert. 1 Timothy 5, 4:1-5. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Here ends the text. Norman Rockwell's painting of three generations at Thanksgiving table has got to be the most satirized, characterized, lampooned, and ridiculed picture. Look it on the internet. The point of attack, it's not just the traditional family, but the very idea of Thanksgiving. Where have you gone, Norman Rockwell? The Holy Spirit saw him going 2,000 years ago. The Spirit clearly says, St. Paul, no truth, no thanksgiving. The days will come, promises Paul, when men will apostatize from the faith. The verb abandoned, kindred noun, is the Greek word where our English word apostatize comes from. Apostasy starts not with disbelief, with the belief dying out in an individual's heart, but with the departing from the faith that Jude 3 says was once and for all delivered to the saints. It's not that some will desert the Christian faith. No, they literally grab hold of deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. When a person apostatizes from the faith, it's not that they fall away into believing nothing. Oh no, they end up believing everything. Reincarnation, well, it's just as feasible as resurrection. Aliens populating the earth could be. The Book of Mormon, sure, that can be another testament of Christ. Well, they still don't seem like very demonic doctrines, do they? Neither do the two examples the Spirit expressly gives. Forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from food. Hello, does that ring any bells? Surely you know by now that if you care about your body, you better be eating only organic. You better not be eating any processed food. You better be eating only locally sourced food. And don't touch fat, don't taste sugar, and make sure your plastic is BPA-free and your chickens cage-free. What am I saying? That you're sinning if you watch what you eat or only eat organic or watch your diet? No. I'm saying that if that's your religion, you have fallen from grace and you're lost. I'm saying if you think you are more righteous before God based on what you do or don't eat, you have turned away from the faith. A demonic doctrine is one that says, contrary to Romans 14:17, that the kingdom of God is a matter of food and drink. And this teaching is very old. Herodotus, 400 years before Christ, writes of the Egyptians' belief that all diseases come from the food a man eats. And so they have religious ceremonies of purifying their bodies every month. Still have a hard time seeing something sinister behind this attraction, this is insistence, this addiction to what you eat or don't eat. I mean, the granola, organic, whole grain, whole foods person doesn't seem like a hypocritical liar with a seared conscience. No, he seems more like a flower child from the 60s. But that subset of people who crusade in a religious sense, who crusade that their food choices are morally superior to yours, that subset is pretty much coextensive with the set of people who believe everyone should be able to marry anyone they want to. And those do indeed forbid marriage as God knows it, unless you accept it as He does not. I know this is tough, but you got to see your way through to the truth that these movements, these causes, these competing truths that are pronounced in media and promoted on social media aren't merely them saying potato and us saying potato. There's a cosmic battle going on between God and Satan, and it's waged in the lives of men in society, within social structures, over what is accepted as the conventional wisdom. This comes to the surface virtually every Thanksgiving and holiday season because here the worlds of Christian and non-Christian collide. Hence the virulent attack on Norman Rockwell's depiction of family and Thanksgiving. Some people do put religious value, they base their standing before God Almighty on fitness, health, diet, exercise. And the Spirit clearly warns that people will fall away from the faith based on food or marriage. Paul uses another word from the realm of religion when he says, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. That word rejected is in ecclesiastical writings translated excommunicated. It is of the devil to excommunicate things God meant to be received with thanksgiving. And note, there is no exception. If you want to flesh out into the open the fact that there are people who believe righteousness before God is a matter of what they eat and drink, just bring up the matter of alcohol and particularly tobacco. Virginia's first Thanksgiving festival was held to celebrate the safe harvest of 1617 of the 1617 tobacco crop. Years ago, I wrote a blog that if you're going to have a Thanksgiving altar laden with the gifts of God, there's no reason at all not to have alcohol and tobacco up there. But really, that's a bridge too far. You can be thankful for virtually everything else God created, but not those, or at least not tobacco. But do I know how many people abuse alcohol? I do. They are about the same number as that abuse salt, fat, or sugar. Do I know the dangers of smoking? Well, I do. Do you know the dangers of giving into the apostasy that your standing before God is based on what you consume or not? That the more you enjoy something, well, the less Christian you must be. C.S. Lewis deals with that, the latter, in his Screwtape Letters. The experienced demon agrees with the younger one that many a soul has been won by excessive bodily pleasures. All the same, he says, it's God's invention, pleasure, not ours. Never forget that when we are dealing with any pleasure in its healthy and normal, satisfying form, we are, in a sense, on the enemy's ground. Excommunicate the good gifts of God or corrupt them, as marriage and sexuality have been in our unbelieving society, and you will fall away from or reject Thanksgiving. See, no truth, no Thanksgiving. Where have you gone, Norman Rockwell? Rejected, because pictures of normal families and normal Thanksgivings taunt, haunt, and condemn those who believe the lie that their non-traditional family is not just moral, but superior to your traditional one, and so is their food and drink. No truth, no Thanksgiving. But no truth, K-N-O-W, no truth, and no, K-N-O-W, Thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit doesn't just clearly say the first part. He's still talking at the end of the text. The truth to know is that everything God created is good. The temperance movement of the late 19th and 20th century put the demon in the rum. They made rum itself bad. You can see that it was a religious movement in that led to the sacrament Christ instituted being changed from using wine to grape juice. It's no small thing when you alter a divine sacrament. The Spirit is clear. Every creation of God is good and nothing is to be rejected or excommunicated if it can be received with thanksgiving. Now that's the answer to all of you who thought, well, what about marijuana? What about psychedelic mushrooms? What about Colorado River toads? Something that is illegal, like toads and shrooms, well, that can't be received with thanksgiving. But don't go the other way. Everything man declares legal, well, that can be. That would not only be pot in Colorado, but abortion, homosexuality, pornography, and gay marriage everywhere else. But could you receive pot in Colorado with thanks? Well, that might be trusting the government too much. A government that assures you certain forms of murder, depravity, and deformity are all right may be all wrong when it comes to assuring you something is safe. You receive with thanksgiving that which can be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Everything in this world needs forgiving, needs sanctifying. And that only happens through the word of God and prayer. We all need pardon before we're ever going to be thankful. This fact is blurred at Thanksgiving. What do you think the farce of the President of the United States pardoning a turkey at Thanksgiving does? It makes a joke out of pardon. Well, lighten up, you say. I will not. Lincoln is said to have pardoned a turkey, and various presidents did that from the 1940s onward. But it has only been from 1989 on that it became an annual public ceremony. Turkeys don't need pardons at Thanksgiving, people do. And a word from a president won't do it. It takes a word from God, and he has given that pardoning word to men. The man Jesus Christ won the right for fallen men to speak it. Though Jesus never ate too much, never drank too much, never based his standing before God on food, though he was perfect, deserving to live with God forever as a man, he was sent to the cross instead. On the night of the most special Old Testament church meal, the Passover, he was arrested, brutalized, tortured, and then nailed to a cross, being turned away from by God, ridiculed by men, and laughed at by demons. But, as Isaiah says, By his punishment, we have pardon. Because he carried our sins away from us, we can send the sins of others away in Jesus' name. Ever try to dine with guilt? You have to swallow twice. Once the food, the second time the guilt. You don't have to do that this Thanksgiving. Though your sins be as scarlet, I tell you that for Jesus' sake they're white as snow. Though your sins be more than the hairs on your head and like a wave of sludge that's washed over you, God counts Jesus' holiness as yours, and he washes you clean in baptism. But it's not only the word of God that sanctifies your meal, but prayer. This is not the ordinary word for pray, but to approach God in a free, familial sort of way. Only those washed in the blood of the Lamb can do that. Only those forgiven of what their consciences are afraid of can talk to God as a child talks to his dear father. Prayer asks that God, for Jesus' sake, would make this food a blessing to you. Without God's blessing, any food may just as well prove to be the means of your sickness and death as of your health and life. Thanksgiving to God in Jesus' name delivers us from the abyss of abstraction, which is to be thankful to you know not whom, and for you know not what. How many people say, I'm just thankful, that's all. And God-given thankfulness keeps something of the divine in the secular holiday of Thanksgiving. In all the holidays we mark with the world, there is a secular and there's a divine aspect. Children don't distinguish the two, but one day they will. As long as the things of God come first, then the divine and holy, God's grace and mercy, are tasted in everything from Christmas cookies to chocolate bunnies to Thanksgiving turkeys. But if the things of men take first place, then Thanksgiving is about nothing more than food and family. That's where Norman Rockwell has gone for most Americans. And if Thanksgiving is no deeper than my stomach and about nothing more than relationships between people, can you blame other people for making fun of it? But for those who know the truth, the blessings of the true God are smelled, touched, and tasted in Thanksgiving. And therefore, they can be celebrated. Amen. We continue now with the offering.